argument calendar, Rich v. Miller, case number 251387. Mr. Rich, come on up, please.
Good morning, Your Honors.
Good morning, Mr. Rich. And I appreciated your request. We were ready to go. So I also appreciate that you're then willing to come here and make the case. You should know that we've got the benefit of everything you provided. That is in brief, so we're familiar with the case. So with that, tell us what you want in the 5 minutes you've got.
Okay. May it please the court, my name is Benjamin Rich and I am...
Speak right into the microphone, sir.
Okay, gotcha. Okay, may it please the court, my name is Benjamin Rich and I'm representing myself and I am asking the court to reverse the summary judgment and send my case back. I am not asking the court to decide whether I was innocent or guilty. My point is much simpler. There were important facts that were disputed, and those disputes should not have been decided against me on summary judgment. They should have been decided by a jury. My first point is Avery Jackson was the main witness against me. Detective Miller admitted in his deposition that Jackson lied about part of what happened that night. But Miller continued to say Jackson's story about the shooting was reliable because the surveillance video.
Mr. Rich, could I ask a question? You provided what you said was a transcript of a deposition, but it doesn't look like an ordinary transcript with a reporter and a sworn, you know, certification at the end and so on. How was that generated? And what was that deposition? Was it taken under oath?
It was taken under oath. It was taken under oath, and it was also recorded on a Zoom.
Was there a court reporter there?
There was a notary public there.
Okay, and no counsel.
Just for the defense, they had counsel. I didn't have counsel. I was representing myself.
Okay, and what is your best piece of evidence that Mr. Miller, when he charged you, understood that what Avery Jackson had told him was false, that he knew at that time?
Because, you see, the question before us isn't whether Jackson was false. We'll assume that, but the question is whether the person you are suing knew that he was false. And that's the question we've got to ask, is there evidence of it?
Yes, I believe so. There is evidence that he knew that because throughout the criminal matter, Miller had opportunities to go and do his investigation with the original person who...
Yeah, but that's... You see, the question there is, under our cases, which we're bound by, does somebody have a duty to do more investigation? And is that failure to do more investigation evidence that he knew? Or in order for you to win, under our cases, whether they're right or wrong, but which we have to follow, does there have to be actual evidence that he knew, not a failure to act? And that's, you know, I might very want it to be failure to act, because that makes more sense to me. But if that ain't the law, I'm stuck.
The video that he's claiming that corroborated Avery Jackson's testimony was actually not a video that was corroborating the story. That video actually was the reason why the trial actually went into a mistrial. The judge actually seen that video, so he's...
Remind me what the video showed.
That's a very good question. So the video doesn't show me. You can't see me, but
shows white car.
It shows a white car, yes. It shows the white Rolls Royce that I was driving. I was there that night. That's correct. But the video doesn't show a body. So in his deposition, in Miller's deposition, he states that he at first said that he seen it was a gun. And now at the deposition, he's stating that he wasn't sure it was a gun. It was an object. It might have been an object. And then it was muzzle flash. And throughout the whole case, the criminal case, and all of the notes and documents, he's never mentioned a muzzle flash until now.
So why do you think you were set up by him, by Officer Miller?
Yes, and the thing is, there was Avery Jackson wasn't the original person who contacted the police. He wasn't the reason. He wasn't what triggered the probable cause. It was a female that actually lived in the building outside of the club who actually seen everything that happened, and she called 911 and reported that she heard shots. And that female was never interviewed by Detective Miller, and she was never brought to trial. Mm-hmm. And she was we received 14 additional camera angles at trial, the first day of trial, that was being hidden. Mm-hmm. Throughout the 18 months that I've been going through back and forth to court litigating it, and the one that he's standing on, that he's saying that corroborated Avery's story, because Avery lied, but he's saying that this video corroborated his story, was the same video that the judge used to throw the case out.
When you got arrested, I guess maybe the question is, when you got arrested, did Officer Miller or anybody else know, set aside Mr. Jackson, as Judge Calabresi said, let's assume that he's lying, right? How do we know that Mr. Miller knew, based on the record in front of us, that A.B. Jackson was lying?
Because he's the detective who's doing the investigation, and he's saying that the reason why he's believing Avery Jackson, not just because he made a statement, but he's saying that the video that he's seen corroborated Avery's story.
Well, Avery Jackson's story was in part that there was a white Rolls Royce, right?
White Rolls Royce at the time, yes.
White Rolls Royce, and he heard the shot, and so he hears a statement from a bouncer. And then he sees a video that corroborates at least that there was a white Rolls Royce. I guess you're saying there's a separate 911 call about a shooting.
Oh, yes.
That's also available to us, to Detective Miller, right?
That was also, that was actually a sprint report.
So if I've got all that, just put yourself in Detective Miller's shoes, unless you're telling me something else. If I've got that, got a witness, got a video that corroborates at least that there's a white car, and then there's a 911 call that says there's a shooting associated with that period. Why isn't that enough to at least stop you, arrest you, even if I'm wrong at the end of the day?
I mean, I'm not saying that that's not probable cause. That's probable cause to get with me and question me, but to accuse me of a crime that I believe that. That wasn't.
Well, you feel like you're obviously the charges against you were dropped, and that's why you're here, right?
Yeah.
Feel like you were wrongly arrested, wrongly prosecuted.
Absolutely, I've been fighting this ever since then, because that's the truth.
Okay. Let's hear from the other side. But I appreciate it. So have a seat there.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So, Mr. Sinclair, what happened?
In terms of which component?
What happened?
I think the way that Detective Miller sees the facts play out is I think what justifies the probable cause, and it, at the very least, arguable probable cause, which Your Honors were discussing earlier today. We have the story that Jackson told, which is that plaintiff and the owner or other people in the club got in an altercation. He was physically escorted outside and then got into his white Rolls Royce, drove a little bit, got out, took a firearm out of the trunk and fired 5 to 7 shots. Mm-hmm. Based on that story, we have two positive identifications by Jackson of the plaintiff, each of which could independently establish probable cause. But on top of that, we have several bystanders who tell essentially the same story about the altercation being escorted outside. They give a similar timeline of facts in terms of hearing.
You know, that doesn't really matter if he had reason to believe that the main witness was lying, because there may be other identifications, but if the main witness was clearly lying, then he can't just rely on the others without more.
Sure.
So we're back to the question of, is there any indication that he should have known that Jackson was lying?
And I would say that there isn't. I think the most that plaintiff points out is that there was this other 911 caller who a different investigator spoke to and who said, I saw a car drive away. At the top of the car had a black top. Mm-hmm. They also noted that their vision was partially obscured, and they said they had no further information about the incident. So there was really nothing else to investigate regarding that person's information. And then the other claim is that they didn't recover a handgun at the scene. Those were the two main facts. But lack of a firearm does not defeat probable cause, especially when there are this wealth of other information. There is other physical evidence, including the shell casings, the bullet fragment, and one of those bystanders said to, again, a different investigator that plaintiff did have a firearm and he had it in his vehicle that night, which is all bolsters the basic story of Jackson, and nothing really contradicts that basic story.
Mr. Rich points to inconsistent statements made by the detective in his deposition. Could you describe the circumstances of that deposition and advise how we should think about that transcript offered by Mr. Rich, please?
Sure. I didn't actually hear the Mr. Rich's answer about whether there was a court reporter or someone.
He said there was a notary, I think.
Okay. So I would say,
conducted by Zoom, right?
Sure. So I would say you could find it inadmissible in as much as it's not clearly whatever the transcript was that meets all the requirements in the Federal Rules of Civil Procedure. I think we quoted 27 in our brief. It's actually Rule 30, but it wasn't obviously conducted by an officer. It's not obviously complete. It's not always clear who's speaking. But I think even if you give it the benefit of the doubt, almost all of the quotes that plaintiff assigns to Officer Miller aren't in there. When you assume that the declarative statements are Mr. Miller, when you assume that interrogative statements are from plaintiff, he doesn't admit that he falsified evidence or that the affidavit didn't reflect his personal knowledge. He doesn't admit that that the video didn't reflect what he said. He said, like, to the extent that he expressed ambivalence, it was saying, I don't recall what I saw in the video X number of years ago, which is not a declaration of falsifying evidence. So I think even if you give it the benefit, you don't have to assume, but even if you give it the benefit of doubt, I don't think it says what he says that it says.
Okay, thank you.
I guess, and for that reason, I think that both defeats the malicious prosecution claim and defeats the fair trial and the fabrication of evidence claims, which turn on essentially this allegedly false affidavit. If there are no other questions,
I'll
ask this court to affirm. Thank you very much.
We'll reserve decision. So, Mr. Rich, thank you again for coming. That what I just said, reserving decision, just means that we're going to talk about it, make a decision about your case, and you will have a written decision one way or the other explaining or justifying our decision. Do you understand that? Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you for coming.
Yeah.